you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. I am Nikki Paranormal, and I am going to go ahead and bring in Rob, Mr. Live Paranormal. At least that's what my phone says. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I thought we were talking about changing your name.
Okay, I'm Nikki Paranormal, or Unnormal, or whatever you want to call me, as long as it's not mean. How about that?
I threw a mean one into the mix the other day, if you recall.
Yeah, you did. Yes, I do recall, and I did not like it at all, okay? You were being mean. He has his moments, people. If you don't know, Rob has his moments.
You posted a picture on Facebook, and I said it kind of was like Nikki Para. Whore.
Not so mold, nice word. Yes, that's mean. Jeez.
It was funny. It was a dig. I laughed, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, you probably laughed really hard, but it was mean.
I'm really not sure I laughed hard, but it was a good play on how you like to put those spins on the paranormal, normal. I never could get it straight. Too many ends. I don't think people actually can like grasp the concept that multiple ends and use. And I never got it right anyway. So I think the best marketing strategy is to change it to just paranormal.
Okay. Well, you know,
I'll go with the horror mole. The horror mole. I kind of you can go there.
Oh,
if you're looking to trademark, you know, to actually get you would definitely pick up a lot of followers. I'm not necessarily sure it might be for the correct reasons for your mind. But,
right. And then I could put up that picture that you made me a long time ago.
I did make it. See, there might be a theme that I might have kind of like.
Or maybe that's just what you think of me so highly, right?
The vibe that you give off, maybe?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Well, that wasn't very nice, though, was it? Mm-hmm.
No, but I speaking of, I think the guest...
Yes, the guest is here. So would you like to introduce our guest?
He can save me from my debacle.
Yeah, the trench you're putting yourself in. Doghouse, big time. Go ahead and introduce our guest, Rob.
Are you bringing him on?
Yeah, if you want to introduce him.
It's the lovely Bob Robert Murch. He is the man, the myth. He's been on Live Paranormal quite, I think this is like his seventh time. Bob, you there?
I'm here. How's it going, guys?
It's going
good.
I was going down a quick downward spiral when it came to what I was just talking about prior to you calling in, so I'm glad you called in and kind of saved the day.
Yeah.
Well, I think the
co-host here, Nikki, she goes by Nikki Para Unnormal or Paranormal, depending on what you talk about. And she posted a picture on Facebook, and I thought it was a little risque. And so I threw the Nikki Para Hormal into the thing, too, and it didn't go over too well.
Not nice.
I did not get brownie points.
No.
Well,
none.
No. Rob, you can use the excuse that you've taken too many pills from your recovery, and that's why.
That's what I'm using. It's the Percocet. I have the official Percocet
totally
brain.
Called it.
yeah. So really, what I say tonight, don't hold it against me.
Of course,
totally
I'm going to hold it against. That's half the fun. Yeah.
Right. that is the I've actually been off the Percocet now for about 2 weeks. So I can no longer really use that as my
really?
Oh, so now it's is it Vicodin?
It is. It's Well, you know what the beauty of me and Percocet is, which this is not relevant to the show tonight, but I can take a half a pill and be happy. And so they gave me like enough for a month and a half of 2 pill servings, like every 4 hours. So I have like a stash of Percocet. So I guess if everything goes out downhill, I can always be a side drug dealer because I can only stomach a half a pill. I've got like access to like 270 some odd pills.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Aside this,
I don't even know what to say after that.
Announcing my illegal drug trade right live on air. Like,
way to go, buddy.
Interested.
Yeah, you're going to jail.
Yep. The cops are going to be at my door by 11 o'clock.
Great. The DEA is going to shut down liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, gosh. Wow.
There's always risks. But no, we've been trying to get Bob on for a long time. And finally he agreed after about, 4 years of saying no.
Come on, that's not true. It's been like 3 years of saying no.
Right, maybe three. And then the craziest thing happened is that I had an accident, and then I had to cancel. And then we rescheduled, and then you got sick, supposedly.
Yeah. No, I was sick. Everyone knows when I get sick, when I'm quiet. Like when I don't, I just disappear from social media. And I was sick. I got really sick. I got I think it was the flu over the holidays. And I was like just down. I was definitely down. I still have it. My throat, my voice is still not back to normal. But yeah, that was like, that's almost 3 weeks it took to get over it. So it sucks.
Well, you know what? I do have sympathy because I came down with the flu. So maybe because I said something that, I said you were supposedly sick, and then maybe I got the flu just because of spite. Because I had the flu. We went and did an investigation. It was my first any trip out of the house, and I probably shouldn't have even went. And what I came back with was the flu. It was I've had pneumonia. I've been sick before, and I've never had anything that's completely wiped me out for days on end.
Yeah, this one.
If you were feeling anything like that, was you going? I understand.
Yeah, this one is definitely like the fatigue thing, where you're just really, really tired. My husband went to San Francisco to visit his sister for a week, and I barely did anything. I got up, I'd take a shower, I'd curl up on the couch, do some research, do some stuff, and fall asleep. It was just like a week of, oh my God, I can't believe a week has gone by. I'm still sick. So, but I'm finally getting better, which is cool.
You beat me because I didn't even shower. I just
stayed in bed. I was going to say, he said he didn't shower. He was like, I haven't even showered. I'm like, oh, that's
nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
know.
Showered.
You know what? That's you've got to get up and shower because if you don't, you feel worse when you don't shower. I know, like you're weak and you just don't want to do it. You don't feel like it, but I know, like after a day or two, you're just like, okay, now I really feel sick, and I smell sick.
Yeah. It was awful. Now, but I actually went to the doctor and got medicine, and I was on a kick though that whole week, the week and a half. I was going to the doctor trying to get any kind of medicine I could. And this must be like a reoccurring theme with me and drugs. Apparently going on here, but I had hit my deductible, obviously, when it came to my insurance, and I am a migraine sufferer, and there's a it's called a Zomig nasal spray, but I've been my insurance would never cover it, and they don't make an off brand, and because I hit my deductible, I went to the doctor. I'm like, hey, do you think you can throw me in like a prescription of the migraine pills, and so I was getting every pills and anything I could get for free because I hit my deductible. I had a pricey bill from the hospital stay.
Oh yeah, I bet. I bet. Do you that nasal spray, is that like Stadol? That's what I used to. I have migraines since I was little, and yeah, the nasal spray stuff is the like nasal spray narcotic. It's pretty strong if that's what that's like.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've gotten them since I was 4 years old, so I've gotten migraines for 33 years, and the nasal spray worked better for me than like the self injector. I was never a big fan of self injecting myself with the Imitrex, and you get kind of a nasty aftertaste. It dribbles down the back of your nose, but it always worked well for me. And they're like just little bitty individual dispensers. And they're like one-shot doses, and for whatever reason, I liked them. And they're like gold. I had a migraine like 3 days ago, and I decided it wasn't bad enough. It was bad enough to take an Imitrex pill, but it wasn't bad enough to try the nasal spray, because I only have six. And I know it's going to last me. That's the last six I'm going to have, because to get them without, when my insurance won't cover them, they're like $280 for six shots. And, that's a little more than I want to spend on myself for nasal spray.
Right.
With four kids, I don't have the luxury of buying myself gold plated nasal spray.
Golden nostrils.
There's no segue from that into setting up this interview. So I guess we'll just go into it. I don't know how to segue nasal spray into what you do, but for those of our listeners who might not be aware of what you do, which I would be surprised and also appalled. Why don't you introduce yourself and just kind of let people know who you are and why you were such a man for me to call.
Yeah, because you have no one else to call. I'm the total bottom last person there is. No.
It was like yesterday. I'm like, crap, I need somebody. And I'm like, hey, let's call Bob Merch. He'll do it.
Yeah, you're like, he owes me a favor. I've just been researching and writing and talking about the history of the Ouija board. So that has made me become kind of the go-to guy. And, I'm lucky to have gotten to work with a lot of great people and have had some amazing experiences about this. So from meeting people who had something to do with originating the Ouija board to, consulting on the movie that just came up. And a cool thing happened today where I was officially asked by Universal to come to L.A. at the end of January to help promote the DVD release of the movie. So I'll be doing an event in L.A. for Universal.
Awesome.
That is cool.
It's crazy. Like, this life has been amazing. I've been super lucky, and it's been a lot of fun. So I get to do stuff from paranormal to movie stuff. It's really fun.
Well, I think you first came on Live Paranormal, I'm going to say 2009. I'm going to think that was your first interview. I look back, and there's one that's pre-2010, and it's with Aaron Sagres. And I think, sometime in 2009 you were on, so I'm familiar with your work. You've been on multiple times, different shows. But I have a pretty good understanding of what you do and what you have accomplished. And how long really have you been researching I don't want to call it the theme of the boards, or what do you call it? I know it's called by multiple different names, and so I guess that's a multiple question. It goes by different names, obviously, the talking board, the Ouija, and what do you call it? And then also, how long have you been researching the board?
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's definitely a multi-part question. Ouija or Ouija is a trademark that's currently owned by Hasbro and has been in use since 1890. But talking boards, the general term, that term pops up in 1886 in an article out of the state of Ohio. And the early Associated Press in 1886 picks this up, and it goes all over the world. Ouija isn't named until 4 years later in Baltimore. And so there's talking boards, witch boards, spirit boards, all of those are different names for talking boards, the general term, whereas Ouija is specific, kind of like, you know, when you say pass me a Kleenex, you really mean a tissue because Kleenex is a brand. Or if you say, can you make me a Xerox copy, you really mean a photocopy. So Ouija gets used interchangeably, but it's actually a specific and most popular talking board. And the longest running talking board, actually this year in April, marks Ouija's 125th anniversary. And I've been researching again on this since 1992. So it's been, you know, a long time for me. It's been over 20 years.
Well, I have, you know, listened to multiple interviews on Live Paranormal that you've conducted. So I almost feel like I'm cheating on the interview because I know what questions were asked, and I've listened to the interviews recently when I thought you were going to be on, you know, back in December. And I know you did a lot of research and a lot of work with the families that, I guess, originated the board. And you know, I thought that was kind of an interesting story about, wasn't there some kind of feud and stuff that was going on between multiple families and the board? And I know that you, you know, you gave us a great details in that, on that, you know, last time you called in on Chip Show. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, you know, the story of the Ouija board is really about the people who are around, who originated it, who first manufactured it, who named it. Their story is what we've been kind of working on all these years. And when I say we, there's a whole network of other collectors. And, you know, for listeners who want to go to a great website, and a good friend and mentor of mine, Gene Orlando, runs a museum of talking boards. It is the oldest and first Ouija website that was ever made. And so that's museumoftalkingboards.com. And if people, your listeners, want to learn more about other spirit communication device, good friend and colleague of mine, Brandon Hodge, runs mysteriousplanchette.com. So those are two really great websites for people to go to. You know, my story is kind of strange. It's as weird as the Ouija board. I have been researching the different families. I've ended up becoming really good friends with a lot of the people and have, you know, stayed friends. So the Fold family, who worked and, you know, made the Ouija board from 1890 to 1966 when they sold it to Parker Brothers, that's really the family that, you know, made the Ouija board what we think of. So when people look on older Ouija boards, it would always say William Fold talking board set. And William Fold was one of the original stockholders and one of the original employees who took over the company fairly quickly. And like I said, he and his family made Ouija boards for, you know, 1890 to 1966. And, each family has a very unique story. And for the Folds, it was that William Fold brought his brother Isaac into the business, and they worked together for a few years. And then for some reason, the original company that was leasing the rights to William and his brother Isaac renewed that license, but only with William. And so Isaac was cut out of the business. And that set into motion a 97-year-old feud between the two sides. So William and Isaac would fight in court for almost 20 years as to who could make the Ouija board and who had the rights. Ultimately, it was decided it was William, and the two brothers never spoke again, and the feud ran pretty deep. And in 1997, when I was doing research, I was contacted by both sides of the family, and through that, the two sides were able to meet and bury the hatchet. And in 1997, there was a big Fold family reunion, and I was invited to be part of it. So a lot of those people I consider family. You know, I've known them, and I knew some of them before they had kids, and now they have kids, and now I feel old.
That doesn't get any better, I don't think. It's funny, Nikki and I, we actually had the same birthday, and no one believes that we actually really have the same birthday. And I don't even celebrate it anymore. It's just the point where it's just ridiculous. I was only like a broken hip. Turning older, I mean, it was like real bad. It doesn't make you feel older than having a broken hip.
Yeah.
I can't really say I've been there, but yeah, I can imagine.
No. Statistically, 30% of all people who break their hip die within a year. That's that bad of an old person's break. So that's an actual statistic.
Well, wow. I'm glad that's not happening to you.
I think I'm okay. I think I'll pull through. Never know. I hate to be that weird statistic, but I segued into the old part, which is like the one part I did not want to segue into. This is the worst part to, go with. But now, when you started researching this, I guess why did you start researching the boards? What made you interested in it? Did you grow up? I know you grew up somewhat religious, and it was open. You guys were open talking about spirit and spirit communication, but what really got you interested in the whole thing?
Well, I was raised Orthodox Jew, which anyone who knows me or has seen pictures of knows I do not look like that now, but that's the way I was raised. And in any Orthodox religion, there's a strong belief in the other side, that there are spirits and demons and angels, and so it's kind of not a big deal. In a way, it's just kind of accepted that these things are real. So, once you accept they're real, no big deal. And so I always had an interest in it. Judaism is an interesting religion where it is very spiritual, and especially, again, if you're Orthodox. So, I was always kind of drawn to that stuff. In 1986, the movie Witchboard comes out, and I was fascinated that this, quote, board game was the main character of a movie. And then when I went to college, I went to the University of New Hampshire, and I was in a dorm with three other guys, so we were in a quad, and they wanted to rush for fraternity, and I knew really simply that if I went into a fraternity, I would never graduate college. So I let them go, and I decided to stay in the dorms, and I could visit them and go to their parties, but also have a place to come back and study. And one of the things that they had to do for their rushing was a treasure hunt. And the treasure hunt was they had to find an old Ouija board. And I had spent many, many years, many weekends, many nights antiquing and flea marketing with my dad. So I came home on the weekends for quite a few weeks, picked up some Ouija boards, and they used them for their rushing and then gave them back. And when I left UNH, I had 10 different boards, and they were all different. And I thought, well, that's weird. Isn't there only one Ouija board? I mean, how can there all be these different things? And so started researching, and this is pre-internet, really. There's nothing on the internet, so you had to go to the library and open your Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedia, which many people who are listening have no idea what I'm talking about. But and every kind of line that was in there said the Ouija board came from someplace different. And I just couldn't believe that something everyone knows. Everyone knows how to use it. You don't have to tell anybody. No one says, Ouija, what's that? But so everyone knows how to play it. Everyone knows what it is. But no one knows where it comes from. And that just seemed really odd to me. So it set me off on this kind of lifetime journey of working with people and collaborating and learning and, kind of living in a really interesting life. And then that has led me to, uncover these lost history to the Ouija board. Because, nothing I find is new. It's just new to us. So its history had been pretty well lost a long time ago. And now, thanks to these wonderful digital tools that we have and the internet and the ability to talk to people really, really far away, you're able to, you know, collaborate and work with the National Archives or Library of Congress or the White House or any of these places I've gotten a chance to work with to dig out this history. And then, you know, you have to hop on a plane and go and meet people and interview. And so this kind of small little hobby turned into a lifetime obsession. And what's really cool is, you know, the Ouija board, though, has had its off and on love affair with the paranormal world. It was at one time, talking boards were born out of the spiritualist movement, and that's what they used. So there, while today everyone has EVP recorders and K2 meters in their bag of investigation tricks, the Ouija board used to be one of those things. And so to me, it's really cool to have researched something when it was not very popular by a lot of people, and then, you know, be still around for as it's picking back up and getting popular again.
That's awesome. Do you think that it's like a form of like automated writing, you know, like when you see the people who put pens in their hands and they have the spirits come into their bodies and they can write on you know, pieces of paper? Is it? I've heard some people think that it was similar. Is that whole, like, I think the whole mindset and the whole those two things are somewhat similar or not at all? Or, you know, have you ever researched that?
Yeah, you know, that's a kind of key, automatic writing, or that is definitely the same form of ideomotor response, or what scientists believe is ideomotor response. So scientists believe that what's happening with automatic writing or with the Ouija board is that your subconscious is actually answering the questions and you don't know it. And that because we're made of muscles that don't want to stay still, they're constantly, you know, twitching or shaking. And if you hold your hand up and you look at it, your hand may shake a little bit. And we've all seen other people who aren't nervous, but their hands do just shake a little bit more than others. And when you ask a question, whether you're doing automatic writing or a Ouija board, psychologists would believe that what's happening is those small little jerky movements, because you want the answer, they start to move, and then it becomes more fluid, and your subconscious, unbeknownst to you, is answering the question. So you feel like you're being kind of driven and that you're being led, and scientists would say that that's actually you that's doing it. And people who believe that there are spirits and that you can communicate with them will say that what's happening is that you are being led by a spirit to write the answer or to push the planchette to what letter.
Right. Now, you mentioned you left college with 10 boards. How many do you have now?
I have well over 500 different boards, but that doesn't include different variations of those boards and then duplicates. So if you get into, you know, variations and then duplicates, you're going over 1,000 easy. And I don't just collect Ouija talking boards. I collect everything Ouija and talking board related. So that's all music, all TV shows, movies, plays, anything and everything, so that I can see how Ouija and the talking board were viewed in the decade that I'm interested in. So I can see how the public views, you know, change a little bit with what's going on, as well as, you know, how Hollywood has seen it. So my archives are pretty vast. There's a lot of stuff. My house is a museum to the Ouija board.
So if I'm never in a pinch, I know where to go.
Yeah, luckily, Hasbro with the movie is making sure that there are plenty of Ouija boards in every store that could possibly sell them. So, but you're always welcome to come here.
All right. Well, I'm going to take you up on the offer one day. I'm going to show up. Like, I'm here. And you're like, I was only kidding. It's just a radio interview. Why are you here? Like, but you invited me. I'm here. And everyone heard it. I could hang out with Bob.
He's going to play it back for you, like standing on your porch.
Because you didn't remember, you said I can come over anytime.
You like, can.
What? I will. Nikki can't come over, though.
She can't.
All right, we'll come together. Oh. Now,
oh my
I guess I do do have one more question here for you, and I'm wondering, with the current genre of the paranormal kind of not as taboo as it was probably 10 years ago, and with the movies, and it's more Hollywood, it's more out there, are you seeing a swing into more people open to using the boards and changing in the way that it's marketed to people? And I know at one point it's marketed as a game, but now, you know, do you think with, you know, with me, I would assume that marketing of the board would play up on people's fear as well. And currently, you know, with the movie and stuff going on, that, you know, that might be a marketing strategy. Have you seen any kind of change over the past, shift in the past 10 years in the marketing or the way that it's perceived?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. When I started speaking at paranormal conferences and being invited to them, the first one I ever did was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe somewhere around there. It was with Beyond Reality Events, Ghost Hunters. And I got that gig through Jeff Belanger, who I'm sure your listeners know. And he's a good friend, and he thought that people should be educated on the history of the Ouija board. So he convinced them to let me come and speak. But when I first went there, you know, I got to speak, and then I had to leave. Like, it was like, okay, you can talk about the Ouija boards, but that freaks people out a lot, and, you know, that will just not be good. But then, you know, the next year I got invited back, and I was able to come and stay and speak, but not bring any boards. And then I was able to come back and bring a lot of old Ouija boards, but people couldn't play them. And then 1 year in Cooperstown was hilarious with Chip Coffee was there. And he, you know, was like, oh, it's so funny that they don't let you use Ouija boards. It's so ridiculous. We're, you know, running around with all this equipment, asking questions, who's there, are there any messages for us? And it's all a big Ouija board session. And Hasbro had sent like two or three dozen Ouija boards, new ones for people to use. And there was a long debate with Jason and Grant as to whether it was going to be okay if we could use them, because they were, you know, very publicly against them. And in the end, they got to use them, and everyone had a great time, and, you know, no doorways to hell opened up, and no demons came through, and people just, you know, had a good time. But that's, you know, from that to today, when, you know, being asked to go on radio shows and consulting on movies and TV shows and other projects, consulting on different versions of the Ouija board that are made today, all of that, it has definitely shifted back. And it's cool to have been part of giving people the real story versus what they've been told. And, you know, Hasbro changed their board for the first time in many years. They gave it a complete facelift. It looks totally different. Has a black light in it with secret messages on the board. And when they did that, it was kind of interesting to see how it would be perceived. But one of the other big changes they made was, for many years, Parker Brothers, who they bought in 1991, they used to use the tagline, "It's just a game, isn't it?" And they used to have those commercials where the kids were like, "Isn't it?" And this new board that they did in 2014, when it came out, when you open the box, one of the very first things you read is, "Do not play the Ouija board if you believe it's just a game." So they've really shifted back to what these boards were originally intended to, which were to try to make contact with the other side. And for people who would say, well, but that's not a game, you know, Ouija boards were, and talking boards were patented and trademarked as amusements. And people think, well, that's not really amusing, talk to the dead. But if you go back to 1886, when the term talking board was coined, and in 1890, when Ouija came out, you know, death was just such a part of most people's life. You know, after the Civil War, death touched so many people. And so it just became obvious that you would try to talk to them. You know, it just, when you lost so much, talking to the dead was no big deal. And it's not to say that people didn't think it was bad. You know, there was always a segment of the population who thought you shouldn't do this and that, you know, it was bad. But overwhelmingly, Ouija's popularity and the sheer number of Ouija boards that have been sold over the years versus the stories, they just don't match up. And, you know, here's a staggering number of how many Ouija boards are really out there. Hasbro doesn't release sales figures, but they did release this to me, which was between 1967, the first full year that Parker Brothers made the Ouija board, to 2004, 13 million Ouija boards were made just between then, 13 million. So imagine how many were made from 1890 to 2015. I mean, it's a lot. That's a lot of Ouija boards. How many bad stories have you really heard? Not enough to account for the millions and millions and millions of Ouija boards that are in many homes in America and have been for 125 years. And so the Ouija board has an interesting story because it has its real story and then it has its belief. People believe that it's potentially evil, that you're opening a door that you can't close, and that you are you don't know what you're inviting in. And, you know, I personally would argue that same exact thing happens with any spirit communication device. Anytime you conjure, anytime you try to part the veil, if it's dangerous, it's kind of all dangerous, right? Like, I don't believe that anyone, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost never gave us the rule book, and it's like, if you use this device, it's fine, but if you use the Ouija board, I've got you. Like, I don't, you know, believe that. But a lot of people do. And belief and intent has a lot to do with how well or not well your Ouija board session goes. So if you're in a bad mood or in a bad place or sad or depressed or just kind of on the edge, using these devices is a bad idea because you're putting out this really volatile energy, and that's usually what comes back. And, you know, if you use a Ouija board when you're kind of centered and you know what you want to ask and you don't ask questions you don't want to hear an answer to, because the Ouija board is most people's first experience in the paranormal. It's their the first time. And so, you know, I make this joke all the time. Like, as we all know, our first time on many things isn't amazing. You know, it's usually awkward and it's over pretty quickly. And that's pretty much what happens with the Ouija board as well. young people tend to ask questions like, when am I going to die? How am I going to die? And then when they're told, when the Ouija board spells out that they're going to die in a fiery car crash and the car is going to be red, and then, you know, a week later their parents buy a red car and they, you know, they freak out, it's horrible, and they, you know, throw the Ouija board out, or they just, you know, throw it in the closet and never do it again. And I think most people forget that the conversation that's being had is between you and something else, you know, you and your subconscious, you and a spirit, you and maybe it's telepathy, you know, who knows what's going on in every situation, but we blame the Ouija board. So we give the Ouija board a lot of power that we, you know, we don't give to other devices. I mean, who's afraid of a K2 meter? You know, like who's afraid to hit, you know, record on their EVP recorder? It just doesn't happen. And yet the Ouija board evokes very strong emotions in people.
That's a good point. Well, that's a really good point.
Nikki is chomping at the bit to ask chat room questions. I got the, hey, stupid, stop asking questions. I've got chat room questions, text message. So I believe what we'll do is we'll open it up. We have some, you know, people are really interested in the topic and they want to ask questions, and then we'll probably follow it up with, you know, finish up with what you did for the holidays, some lighter side stuff. So I guess, Nikki, what do we have in the chat room?
Okay, so one of the questions is, has you ever gotten a phone call about a Ouija board, or, you know, are you the person to call to get rid of our Ouija board too? Or do we leave that to, like, John Zappas?
No, I love John Zappas, but I don't want you to give the Ouija board to him. I want you to give it to me. No, there's a whole network of us collectors. And you know, I actually founded with a group of amazing people the Talking Board Historical Society, which we actually got it registered as an official nonprofit, 501c3. And, one of the things we do is we will, you know, if someone writes to us and tells us that they have a Ouija board they want to get rid of, we'll make sure it goes to a good home, whether that's another collector or someone who's just looking for one. So you can look us up at we're at tbhs.org, or you can look up on Facebook, the Talking Board Historical Society, and please ask us questions. And it's not just me, it's, 10 other really smart people, much smarter than me.
No, that's good to know, because I know I've gone to a lot of locations that are experiencing paranormal activity, and they go, well, you know, we do have that Ouija board that was still in the house when we moved in, and then we started having activity, and then groups started coming in, and then they started using the Ouija board, and I heard that they're not that good to use. Maybe it's not a good idea. And we, you know, we're thinking about burning it, and I'm like, no. So what is your view on the thing about burning Ouija boards?
It's terrifying to me, right? Like, I don't want to see any of these things get burned. That's like the most awful thing to hear, right? I will cry. It's not a pretty sight.
The SPCA commercial for Bob Birch is when he thinks of the boards burning. It's like that. Who's the lady who sings the music for the ASPCA commercial?
Oh yeah, Sarah McLachlan,
right?
Yeah. I can already see the boards burning and you're crying, tears in your eyes.
Oh my gosh, I hate those commercials. They make me so angry.
They are awful.
Great spoof commercial. I'm going to bring this to the board and see if we can do a spoof board when we're like, every day a Ouija board gets burned. And with your donation, you can help us find homes for these boards. Oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
I'm pretty sure you need a great idea. You need to throw a Live Paranormal plug into that, because that's where that originated. You can't just steal the idea, and it's on.
Oh, there. Yeah. No, I'm totally going to steal it, but I will give you credit.
At the end, really quickly, in microfont.
Yeah, brought to you by Live Paranormal.
Right, like in really tiny print. Don't even say it. Oh, that's too funny. I actually have gone to a location where they really feel that perhaps this board had something to do with it. And they were like, well, you know, I've seen those things on TV where people, like, throw them away and then they end up back in the house. Have you ever heard any really good stories like that? Because, I mean, I've got Ouija boards in my living room. And mine, you know, it's not like I've ever put mine outside, because I adore mine. Mine's a holy Ouija board, but that's another story. But, they don't move around the house for them, at least mine don't, by themselves unless I carry them. So, you ever heard those stories before?
I have. You know, we call these Ouija stations. These are kind of urban legends that have grown up and passed around that people hear, and then they believe they experience them. And, you know, I don't think people are lying. I don't think people are just making stuff up. I think they really believe this happens to them. Does it really happen to them? I don't know. You know, again, I've never seen a planchette. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of Ouija board sessions. I've never seen a planchette move on its own. And yet we hear a lot of stories where people will say, you know, the lights cut out, there's a big bang, something happened, and then the Ouija board, you know, flew off the board, the planchette flew off the Ouija board. I've just never seen it. It's never happened to me. And, you know, the stuff that has been caught on camera has been debunked. So I think a lot of what we think about Ouija and talking boards, we think of from Hollywood, which, you know, it's an interesting debate I have, because I often consult on these projects. You know, I've consulted on a lot of TV shows and movies, and the latest Hasbro one was clearly that this board talks to spirits, and it can be scary and bad things can happen. And so I still consult, because that's what people believe. You know, and again, belief is huge with the Ouija board. It's like, people who don't believe in ghosts don't see ghosts. They don't have experiences. You know, they just like, yeah, whatever. People who don't believe that Ouija boards work, guess what? They don't work for them.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's very true. You know, and I always hear, a lot of people ask me, well, do you use Ouija board? Well, I don't break it out on the daily and, like, sit here and get my kids, you know, gathered around the Ouija board or anything. Yes, I've used them in the past. In fact, I went to the Ouija board experience at Parafest, where I got to experience the Ouija board with all the Ouija people. So that was cool. You know, but I don't break it out on the daily, you know? And I have a few of them. But, they, you know, the design has changed over the years. The new ones are a little weird to me, just because I'm used to the more so traditional, in my mind, board. But out of all the boards that you have, since you have such a massive collection, what year or board type was your absolute favorite out of all of them?
No, these things are like my children, right? So I love them all equally.
All of them?
But I always say my favorite is the next board that I get, because I love still collecting. So even though I have a lot, I have, if not more than what I already have, we know are still out there, and some we don't know that we'll find. But my favorite boards are always the really early ones, and the ones that have a specific connection to the originators. So some of the people, like Charles Kennard, who claims to have invented the Ouija board and was the first to manufacture them, he made a number of other boards besides Ouija. He made Ouija, and then he made Kazanon, then he made the Volo board, then Ijali, and then the Weird A. So those boards are specifically really interesting to me, as well as Elijah Bond, the guy who patented the Ouija board. He made the Ouija board. He also made a board called Nirvana. So that's kind of a really special board for me as well. And William Fuld made a number of different Ouija boards, including the Mystifying Oracle. So those boards are the ones that mean the most to me. And as I'm sitting in my office doing this interview, the families of these people, the descendants, have given me some amazing, amazing artifacts. And the one thing I always try to get when I meet them and find is the pictures of these people. Because for one, we didn't know they existed or they had anything to do with the story. And then the second one is, what do these people look like? So all of these families have given me original photographs of these people, and they sit in my office and they stare at me all the time.
Awesome. That's really cool. Now, I'm trying to find a picture, but I don't think I'll find it in time to put it up in the room. At a haunted location that I kind of went to that I might not have necessarily had permission to, I found a Ouija board made out of a cardboard box. And it actually has, like, where you could see where they tried to burn that one, and it's got, like, singe marks around it. But I just thought it was just such an interesting, you know, picture to take, because there's this cardboard Ouija board, you know, probably made by some teenagers laying on the ground, probably doing their own little seance, if you will. And, pretty interesting looking. That's neat to say the least.
That's awesome.
But I know I have the Ouija backpack, you know, and that gets quite a few looks at the airport, you know, when you're walking around the airport with your Ouija backpack. And, you know, I don't know. I appreciate the Ouija board. I think it's beautiful.
Well, if anyone who's interested in the paranormal, it's part of our history. There's no doubt about it. It's part of our, as a human, trying to find out what happens when you die, and is there anything else, and is there a way to communicate? And I think people forget, with all the TV shows on, sometimes we forget why people try to make contact in the first place. And, you know, we've all lost someone, and sometimes we lose people very suddenly. And you're in a fight with that person. You always think you're going to have a chance to make up, and then something happens to them and they die. And you know, or someone you just never got to say goodbye to, someone you knew was sick for a long time, but you weren't there when they died, and you never really got to say goodbye, and you have unresolved business with them. Those are the reasons why people, you know, they love someone, and they want to connect with them, and they want to, you know, have some finality. And, you know, to me, when I look at the Ouija board is just such an expression of that human need to know what happens when we die. And, you know, another joke I always make is that, you know, the reason the Ouija board is still so popular 125 years after it came out is because, you know, for $19.95, you get an unlimited calling plan to the other side. No roaming, no overages, you know.
I like that.
The first text messages came through the Ouija board.
That's an awesome way to look at it, totally. I know I was really excited because I actually live in Maryland. I'm not too far away from Baltimore, so I'm very excited about the April event for the Ouija event there.
Oh, I'm psyched you brought it up. So, yeah, the Talking Board Historical Society is putting on OuijaCon, which is to celebrate the 125th anniversary of the Ouija board, and we're working with the city and different city groups, and we're going to have a big conference April 23rd. So it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and everyone goes home on Sunday. And the Ouija board was born, basically, and named right in Baltimore. So it's a bit of hometown pride, and I spent all of my years in Baltimore. I'm constantly there. So for anyone who's interested, and I'm going to tell you it's going to be a crazy show, we have some great people. You mentioned John Zaffis, Rosemary Guiley, Brandon Hodge. We just have a huge crew of people. Darren Evans, the guy who's kind of the zoologist, the person who kind of really is into this demon that people believe they talk to through the Ouija board. And Karen Dahlman, great writer, and she sees a lot of the positive sides of the Ouija board. We have an incredible crew assembled. Jeff Belanger, of course, you know, he's emceeing the event, and he's also going to speak. And Dave Schrader, it's just like, it's a great group of people. We have some more people to announce. It's going to be an amazing time. So if you want to buy tickets and you want to go, get them while you still can, because we definitely have a finite number of people that can fit into this hotel and the facility.
Yeah.
So if you go to tbhs.org, you can see WeegeeCon 2015, and you can purchase tickets right there.
Awesome. Everyone go there. Do it. But leave room for me.
That's right. The Ouija board spells out, do it.
Yes. Yes, it does. That's absolutely awesome. Rob, do you want to go ahead and ask about the holidays and such? I'm going to bring you back in.
I was going to say no, just to see what you would do.
I'd be like, fine then. Jeez.
No, but I want to ask about the holidays. So what did you do for the holidays, besides have the flu?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm really lucky. I'm Jewish. My husband is Catholic. We only have to share one holiday between the two families, which is Thanksgiving. Every other holiday is religious, and so they fall with one or the other. So for 20 years, for Thanksgiving, we alternate, and we never change the pattern, no matter what. That way no one can say we did one person's family 2 years in a row. So Christmas is always celebrated up with Gary's family in New Hampshire, and that's where he went. And, you know, unfortunately, I was pretty sick, so I basically vegged out on a couch while all the craziness was going around, and I did have a good time, though, because people were doing everything for me. So I appreciate it.
You can't beat that. That's one thing that's overlooked that I really found to be true in the last, like, 6 weeks. You can't beat stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't realize when you're... I mean, you probably don't realize how when you can't walk or you can't move your leg or you can't whatever, you become pretty helpless, you know? I mean, I just had the flu, so I was just, like, a whiny guy, which happens to all guys. So, oh, I'm sick, I'm horrible, you know? A woman gets the flu, and it's like, I still got to go to work. I got to get this done. I got to go here. A guy gets the flu, and he's dying. Like, oh, I can't get out of bed. It's horrible, you know. So we know we're big babies.
You know, that's true. I shut down for, like, 4 days myself. I just didn't even call anybody or talk to anybody. I checked in and said, hey, I'm not dead, which is my routine, apparently.
I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt real bad. Oh,
there's a funny story behind my whole accident and how I relayed the information to the people of Live Paranormal, which we won't get into, but it's kind of funny. Basically, I just called and said, I'm hurt really bad. I can't do anything for Live Paranormal tonight. I'll see you later. The ambulance is here. I got to go. And that's
I was like, what?
You're like, oh, my God.
I was like, what
the hell happened?
Here,
I gotta go. And
yeah,
that's the only information the people of Live Paranormal had for a whole day. Is that I'm hurt really bad. I gotta go. The ambulance is here. And that's what I left them with. But I wasn't dead.
Yeah,
so I figured it was suitable. I'm
well,
like, I'm not dead.
It's said that to me. I would have thought for sure it was like the American Pie scene where the guy was using super glue by accident. That's what I would have assumed happened to you.
Right, you would assume something fantastically funny happened, but I think apparently I added the ambulance this year and I can't move my leg. So
yeah,
I don't know what I said.
What the hell happened? Yeah, this was so not cool.
Awful.
But you know,
off.
I set everything up daily on Live Paranormal, and I had yet to set the Live Paranormal stuff up that day. And I just needed to tell somebody, hey, it's not going to be done. And, you know, that was the bottom line, but apparently I just didn't relay the information as good as I could have. But, you know, when you're laying there on the ground waiting for the ambulance to come, there's a lot of things that are going through your head other than, you know, properly portraying and your injury and, you know, things are giving the proper information and, you know, that whole thing. So,
yeah, see, I was wondering, you know, I could have connected with the Ouija board and perhaps, you know, while he was in surgery, his psyche could have answered for me, perhaps. I'm not sure. But,
well, I mean,
yeah,
I want to know why you weren't able to do all this stuff with the paranormal. I mean, you weren't using your legs, right? No, I'm just kidding you. You still couldn't have, like, clicked out the keys? What the heck?
Yeah, I was a baby. I just shut down. I've heard them hurt really bad. I need to shut down for 6 weeks.
No, that's crazy, though, dude.
That's scary. Oh, the nerve.
It was bizarre. So I appreciate, definitely you allowing me to cancel the interview we had set up and, your understanding and stuff. And it's definitely much appreciated.
But that's ridiculous. Like, you were so, it was so nice and it was so kind of admirable that you were, you know, so concerned that I was going to be upset. I'm like, your health comes first. Health comes first for everybody. Like, that's just the way it goes. You know, you got to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you won't be doing interviews. Otherwise, you'll be on the other side of the Ouija board.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's it's been great to, you know, have you call in tonight. And you know, it's been long overdue, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again, not 4 years down the line. Like you said, it's only been three. And I'm sure I will... You know, we'll see you throughout the year at, you know, different events, and I'll just bug you because I always bug you. I'm like, you know, Bob Merch needs a show on Live Paranormal. He needs to call in monthly, and there's not a time that I don't have to mention it. So I almost feel like
that's awesome.
For the past 8 years or how many years? Because I remember those Cooperstown events. We actually had that on Live Paranormal TV. The old films from that. So if you want to go back and see yourself from whatever year that was, 2008, it's up. So.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, that was a good time. It was a really good time. All those events were great. I mean, I love all those people. I miss Amy Bruni. She gave me my first break there with stuff. And her and I live in the same state. We only see each other at events. We never see each other in Massachusetts. Just like Jeff Belanger. One of my really good friends, and him and I see each other in different states and in different countries, but never in Massachusetts.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I stayed in myself, so I never see anybody. But no one's in here in Ohio anyway.
I was in Ohio. I was in Ohio over Halloween. I got invited to do one of the Comic-Cons. In Ohio, Columbus.
No, I was going to come. You were in Columbus, right?
Yeah.
And then we were in Kingsville, Ohio, doing a live paranormal television taping. So we were not going. I was actually going to come up to that and or come down to that. I've been in Ohio for 20 years. I still can't figure out if I'm coming up or down or side. Yeah, everywhere. Being from South Florida, everything's coming up. You know. 99.9% of the time I'm saying I'm coming up. And I grew up that way, so now I know. And it's really weird because I live 1 mile from Lake Erie, so I couldn't be any farther north than I am. Okay. And I still, no matter where I'm going, I tell people I'm coming up. And they're like, yeah, you're probably not coming up because if you go up 1 mile, you're going in the water. But I still have that old South Florida mindset of I'm coming up everywhere.
That's so funny.
So I was getting really hard times. Like, you should have called as you were in Ohio, but then I knew you were in Ohio, so I just didn't want to come see you.
You bastard.
Exactly. Drug dealing bastard. Jeez.
Oh, whatever. I've said
you're never gonna live this down. I can't wait.
In 5 minutes.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. This has been great. It's good
no
to hear
problem.
You guys.
Thank you.
And
hopefully we'll I'll definitely talk to you soon, and hopefully we'll see you soon at an event, and maybe we'll do something good this year.
Awesome. We will definitely talk
soon. I'll
see you in Baltimore. Thank you again so much. Yes, you guys will see me in Baltimore for sure. And again, OuijaCon, everybody, it's going to be amazing.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. It's going to cut us off here. So thank you, and I will get to see you at OuijaCon.
All right. Have a great night, you guys.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.